This is Michael L. Jones with the Unfair Housing Project. It's being conducted by Metro Housing Coalition and the University of Louisville Oral History Center. It is December 26, 2001 at 4:05. I'm talking with Miss Lily Ingram, who is a longtime resident of West Louisville, specifically the California neighborhood, I think. So how are you doing today?
Just fine, you?
I'm doing good. So tell me a little bit about your life, because you grew up in the California neighborhood, right?
I grew up by Newburg.
Oh, you grew up by Newburg. All right.
I grew up at Newburg. And when I turned 16, when I turned 16, then we moved here in the West End.
Okay.
And from the West End, we've been living here at this resident ever since I was 16, and I'm 66 now, so like 36 years.
Okay, so so I had thought you grew up on Hill Street, but it wasn't where you were
grew up from.
Okay, so what was your original house near Newburg? What street was it on? Do you remember?
The first house we lived in was on Newburg Road.
Uh-huh.
And then from Newburg Road, we moved from Indian Trail. And from Indian Trail, we lived on Upont Lane, which is where we moved from when we came here to Hill Street.
Mm-hmm. So when you say we, how big was your family?
Oh, we had four children, and mother and father.
Mm-hmm. And so what was Newburg like to grow up in?
Well, back then, it was like living in woods.
Mm-hmm.
Blackberries. Picking blackberries, picking apple trees, going to apple trees, peach trees. You know, we live like it's like, and then my father and his best friend had a little farm there on, I can't remember the street, but they did their own cows and their own pigs and their own chickens. And we had a auntie, she wasn't original, wasn't our auntie, but we all called her Miss Queenie, Aunt Queenie. And she used to teach us how to pluck the chickens and fry the chicken in the grease outside. We had outdoors toilets.
Mm-hmm. So what year are we talking about here?
Oh, wow. I say it's like, well, I was born in 55, so it had to be like in 60, 61 mm-hmm. back then, because I was like 7 or 8 years old, maybe younger, but I still remember the way we had to live, because, you know, it's something you'll never forget.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had to stay in a certain percentage of where we lived there, because it was always divided.
Mm-hmm.
Blacks on one side and white on the other side. And then we had a school, which was Newburg Elementary. It was just black. It's where the blacks went at. And then that was like from the first grade on to the 12th grade. And we got back in the 7th grade. They had changed it where we were able to go to a white school. So half of us went to Central, half of us went to Thomas Jefferson. But it was still a limitation of where we can be at and how we do things, because they still had a subdivision where the blacks go and where the white goes. And majority of the white children always had buses, and we had to walk where we had to go at. Even though the snow was bad, we still had to walk. Even if the rain was bad, we still had to walk. We never did get a bus to ourselves until we moved here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And really didn't have that. We had to ride a regular bus line, and we had to pay for that. But that's what we did when we was young.
Mm-hmm. So what year did you move to the city?
69.
Oh, so, okay.
Was it 69? Yeah, 69.
And so your parents bought a house on Hill Street?
On Hill Street.
And how were they able to do that?
Oh, for one reason, well, my mother, she was working for the landlord, cleaning up houses. And we was out in Newburgh, and we had to move from where we was. So he let my mother move into this home, and I think she paid like $500, maybe $600 for the home back then. But she had to work for him to do it. But then she, as time went on and different things developed in life for us, she was able to get a job at GE. And once she got a GE, and my father had always worked at Nurse and Harvester, and that was the income that we lived off of. But my mother was the one that was really active provider because she kept up everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the house was really given to us by her employee because she worked for him.
Mm-hmm. So, do you remember his name?
Jack Ross. He's deceased right now.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Jew back then, and my mother was his housekeeper, clean house for him. So he knew the situation that we was in, and he provided a home for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason, that's how we got this home, through him.
Mm-hmm. And so was it different for moving to the city from where you were?
Well, yes, because when we moved here, we was basically only black on this street because it was all white.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard for us to get to develop ourselves with the neighborhood because of the, you know, the denomination of whites. But we had a lot of fights.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't go down the store, let someone pick with us or want to fight us. And they had a restaurant down there that we was able to go in to a certain extent, but we was able to buy because then we was able to do a little bit more than what we did when we was, you know, younger.
Mm-hmm. And so you were at 18th and Hill, so you were close to Shively?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Shively is like across from the Parkway, where we live. But we never went to Shively because it was dynamic for different ones. We had to stay in our zone. But it wasn't too hard because we was able to control ourselves. Now, Park Hill and back down up in there, there was a majority of blacks because it was a project. And the kids from the Park Hill area was going to the Portland area, Park Hill area, going to school, which it was all black, which was Lamartine Johnson was the principal then. And that's where we went to school at. And then from there, we went to Central and Mayo. And now, after I graduated, then it just developed into where we was able to do more than we ever have done in our whole life. But still, it's a stimulation to what we can do now, even though life has changed, you know.
So you had also, you lived in Park Hill for a while, too.
Yes. Once I was like 17, I had to, well, I was a young mother, 16. And once I had a new child, I had to move from my father's home for many reasons why I had to. And I lived in Park Hill for years, about 4 or 5 years, till I got a stable job, which I was working as a housekeeper at the guard house at first. And then I worked the medical center laundry in the laundry department when I moved to Park Hill. And then when I got hired at Mother's Cookies, my mother asked me to move in with my sister because she needed some help and support. So I moved in with my sister to support her during the time. Then from there on, I started just living from places to places until I got settled. And once I got settled, you know, I would continue on raising my children.
So, what was Park Hill when you lived there?
All black.
Well, now it has a bad reputation.
Yes.
But did it have a bad reputation then?
No, it didn't have a bad reputation then because there's all different type of people living there. Would you like, you know, our generation, our parents was more strict on what we did, how we did it, and when we did it, and who we associate with. And we all had to go to school. We all had to learn. We all had to go to bed at a certain time. You know, my kids, you know, my kids, that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And there was more respectful children back then. Nowadays, parents just don't care. Their kids having kids on kids. And so you can, you know, imagine why we're going through what we're going through.
Mm-hmm. And so you also lived in Village West for a while, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. I lived there, too, and it wasn't a bad neighborhood then.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I said, you know, we as parents was more respectful to our children because we was raised that way.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was that when children started having children then, they just go opposite directions
mm-hmm.
from where we was raised because my generation of kids is they still today is yes ma'am, no ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're more respectful for the elders and adults. It's their children that they got now is that they spoil and they give them everything, so, and they want for more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a hard generation right now, these kids.
Mm-hmm. So how many kids do you have?
Four.
And how many grandkids now?
Well, I have 23 grandchildren and 8 great-grandchildren. And the reason why I have so many is because my son is married into a family that's already there.
Hmm.
Then my daughter did as well. But truthfully, I have like 13 grandchildren by blood and 4 great-grandkids by
okay.
blood. But I... except all of them because I love all of them,
yeah.
You know.
So, have most of the communities you've lived in all been in Louisville and all been in black communities?
Well, yes and no. Now, yes, all of them been black communities, yes. I remember when I was like in my 20s or 23rd, I was in a, I was living on Poplar Road where there was black and white, but that's where Thomas Jefferson High School was, and you know, you couldn't go too far, but then they started letting us come in at an early age, but still, there was more white than there was black, and we still had conflict because of our skin,
mm-hmm.
and because we was there, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
but, I managed to get through it, and I was managed to, you know, take care of my kids a little better than what I was. And, you know, you have to keep them in instead of out.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go out, you have to be with them because you never know what kind of environment you might get into at that time. But I think I brought my kids up in a good environment, even though it was a lot of, you know, racials going around, but they all respectful now, you know.
So have you always lived in a black community because that's where you could find housing or because you felt more comfortable?
Oh, you know, very much comfortable. You know, I never did try to go out of my way because I was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're afraid of us and I'm afraid of them, you know, so I try to keep a balance where, you know, I can be able to be around people that will respect me as an adult, you know, and I like to keep around older. I've lived around older people, too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mother's name ages. That's where I always try to do.
Mm-hmm. And so you said that when you moved to Hill Street, it was mostly a white still... Or you are the only black family.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but we moved here on Hill Street.
Yeah, on Hill Street. And so when did the more black families start moving in?
When we moved in.
Mm-hmm.
So when we moved in, they started moving out.
Mm-hmm.
and then more blacks came in. Mm-hmm. And then majority of blacks that was raised up here, still here, was a lot of empty houses now today because they moved out and has no one moved in. Mm-hmm. But they moved in, they moved out, you know. But this is where I end up at, here on Hill Street still.
Mm-hmm. So I noticed a lot of empty houses on the block, and why do you think people aren't buying them?
Most likely because they're all old now and run down, and then we are able to buy newer houses and better homes. So I guess we all go out and buy homes where Shelbyville, Tellerville Road, we're able to do more things than we did beforehand. Mm-hmm. So don't too many people want to come in West End no more because of the ballot. I can't say the right word, but you know, because too much going on, a lot of shooting and killing and fighting, and you know, and don't nobody want to be in this environment no more. So mm-hmm. they move out where it's peace and quiet. But see, me, I keep myself in the position where I'm alone all the time. I don't visit and I don't associate with nobody. Mm-hmm. So that's one reason why I don't.
So have you thought about moving out to one of those other areas?
Oh yes. I have plans on doing it, but right now I'm taking care of my father. He's 90 years old, and he's used to being in his home, mm-hmm. and we choose not to put him in a nursing home because we don't know how they would treat him because of his reactions that he gave to me and to others. So we keep him at home as much as we can. Now he's bedridden where he can't do too much of anything, and then he has dementia a lot. Mm-hmm. He got Alzheimer's, so I try to stay here till I'm able to do it. Mm-hmm. And once I'm able, I'm thinking about it. I'm not saying I will because I don't have no financial support right now, but in the future I'm planning on to.
Mm-hmm. And so how much of, you talked about the violence and stuff in the community, have you experienced that, seen it, like people that you've known in your community been involved in it, or?
No, no.
Is it just something from the news?
It's just from the news, and people that lives around here now, I don't know them too well, but I see them, and if there's like an argument or a fight. Well, I haven't had no killings, had a lot of accidents and car accidents on 22nd Street, but there has not been no killings or nothing around here, unless it's on another street. Mm-hmm. And I hear about it on the news, maybe it was down the street, and I might hear it on the news, but if I was being actually knowing, I couldn't tell you.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of efforts going on to revitalize the West End, specifically Russell. They're spending a lot of money in that now. Are you hopeful that it'll actually change anything?
It all depends on, well, I believe so, because it all depends on who moves in the neighborhood, because majority of people that moves in those type of homes, they're working people. And they would like to have a nice home, even though they love the West End because their family's around. So it all depends on if they're able to get there and able to do there. So everybody's not bad, you know. It just, this kids just don't understand the value of life. Mm-hmm. If they realized the value of life, there wouldn't be so many killings. And I'm not going to blame it on the parents. I'm going to blame it on their children individually. Because the majority of people that I know.
Mm-hmm. When do you think it started to change with the violence, like the nature of the community started to change?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, I think it's the change of that milk. We was growing up with pet milk, uh-huh. and canned milk, evaporated milk, and we raised our kids on that, and homogenized milk. When they start putting these chemicals in these kids' milk, give them this powder, And I think that's what I think was something inside that milk. I just, you know, I could be wrong, but I think it's what it was. Because these kids ain't real. They got so now that the kids' bodies would not change. I mean, will not. They can't use the milk that their parents have bought them to, because something, it's something that they're giving these kids these days. I mean, the medications and shots and all that good stuff, honey. I think it's what it is. I don't believe in all that.
Well, I mean, when you, was there a time of like a year or something specifically when you start to notice a transition in the community?
When the drugs came in?
Uh-huh.
The drugs. And that's another thing, the drugs, which the parents of not my kids' generation, the generation that I came up in, the parents was most likely on drugs. And then once they on drugs, they get pregnant, then they have kids on, you know, by their own drugs. And the drugs get in their systems, and then when they're trying to raise them up and try to do right, a brain cell they have is developing to chaos, you know.
So would this be when crack came in?
Yeah, crack, heroin. And somehow it was not too long ago, I didn't know nothing about it. And I keep things to myself. And anybody can come talk to me about things. But I found out they said something about some ice. I don't know about no ice. But she was telling me that she had some, and I told her to keep her mouth shut. I didn't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But she was just, you know, telling me things because she trusts me. But I didn't know nothing about no ice. I thought it was just weed and crack, cocaine. But now it's everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, these kids on drugs, having babies while they're on drugs, and when the kids grow up, they just go crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, would you say around the 80s, around the time that the crack epidemic was starting, you noticed it?
Yeah, about the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just terrible now.
And so, when did the houses start to empty? When did people start to leave?
Oh, shoot. They started leaving when? In the, maybe the 90s. Mm-hmm. 'Cause these houses have been empty for years.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause my grandson is like 28, and his mother lived in one of them, and she moved out, and then nobody else lived in it since then, you know.
Mm-hmm. And how old was he when she moved out?
Oh, he was like 2 or 3 years old.
Well, maybe so it's been empty for like 2 decades.
Yes, it's been empty for a while, and people try to fix them up and get them together, but I guess by these old houses, like the one I'm in, is the electricity and plumbing is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you can live in it, but you have to do so much to be comfortable in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you don't have the money to fix it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just these old houses, and you have to put a lot of work in it.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot.
And, have you looked into, or has your father looked into getting loans, like home improvement loans, or?
He don't believe in getting loans because he don't want to pay them off.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he don't have the kind of income,
mm-hmm,
to be able to pay a loan off. He just have enough money coming in, like he just get like we was getting $900, and they gave him a $60 raise.
Mm-hmm.
So he just like $1,000 a month income, and since the house is paid for, all he pays is LG and light, and maybe cable, and then what little bit he has left, he try to save it,
mm-hmm,
but he don't have enough money to redo the whole house.
Mm-hmm.
But it was up to me, and if I had the opportunity, but see, it's a lot of chaos going through it anyway. If it was up to me, I would get one just to rebuild the home to make it livable, because I can afford to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a mortgage. It wouldn't be a mortgage. It'd be a payment, but it wouldn't be as bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do it right now because it's not my home. It's his home.
Mm-hmm.
And he cannot afford it. So I don't even try to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I don't.
Mm-hmm. So do all your kids live in the West End?
No. Well, my oldest daughter live in Hoptown. And then my oldest son lives in Shavley.
Mm-hmm.
And then my oldest daughter, she lives in the West End on Southern Parkway, off Southern Parkway. And then my baby boy lives out on 3rd Street,
mm-hmm.
way out 3rd Street. So they all live different areas
because
they all got their own homes now, you
mm-hmm.
know. So I'm the one that's here with my father. And I'm not going to say I'm stuck because I love everything I do for my father. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. And my mother wanted me to take care of him because, you know, she knew that it wouldn't nobody else do it. So
mm-hmm.
so I stay here with him to help him out. It's kind of hectic at times because I'm not able to go nowhere or do anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here all day long, and I do have a brother that will watch him as long as I'm working, but if I'm not working, he won't watch him. They won't even come over to visit, you know, for a couple of hours. So I'm just here right now.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Well, I got 3 brothers. 3 brothers, and I got 1 sister that I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, I found out about 3 years ago that I had another sister and another brother.
Mm-hmm.
But that was on my father's side.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's got their own right now and doing their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them successful. My sister's successful. My brothers are successful. All of them got their own. All they're doing good.
Mm-hmm. So where did your parents grow up?
Well, my mother was from Orangeburg, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
She grew up in Orangeburg, Kentucky. And my father was born in Indiana, in New Albany, Indiana.
Mm.
And once, as the segregation wasn't where they can travel, they traveled and connected it. My mother came to Louisville with her sister. And once she came here to Louisville with her sister, she ended up meeting my father.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was pregnant with my oldest sister at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was with someone else, and she was pregnant at that time. So it was first love, first sight, and they end up getting married. And he ended up raising my sister, and he helped, my mother helped him raise the son that the lady was pregnant with when they got married.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother made sure we stayed strong because she believed in a strong relationship. So then they had us, you know, had me and my other 2 brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But originally we just have 4, you know.
Did you keep in touch, like go to Owensboro and see your family there?
No, because I never knew anybody in Owensboro, Kentucky. But my mother went down there at times. But I do know all of my people. Some of my people in New Albany and Jeffersonville, because my mother always had the connection with my father's family, more so than her family, where her family, how her sister brother came to Louisville, Kentucky. And I know all of them, and I know their children, but we didn't associate with my mother's people. We always search with my father's people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Your mother even went to church over in Indiana, didn't
she? She went to Ed's Baptist Church, which were the family of my father's people went, which is his brother was a minister.
Mm-hmm.
There, Reverend Charles Ingram, but Reverend Motley was the head pastor there. And my mother went there just to be close to his family.
Mm-hmm. And so, when you visited Indiana, did you see any difference in as far as the treatment of black people, or what the communities where black people lived?
Well, I can't say that about Indiana because, you know, because I was kind of afraid in Indiana. Well, when we went to visit, we stayed in a house, and we all did everything as a family in the household. And my auntie, one of my aunties lived in the projects where she was able to get the apartment right behind the playground where my mother and her was able to watch us while we played in the playground. But when it gets dark, we all came in and we played. And that's why we so close, because our children, my father's children, brothers, we all hung together.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know the...
Okay, well, that's all the questions I had. Is there anything I didn't ask you about?
No, anything you want me to tell you.
Okay. Thank you.